Good day, everyone, and welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange Conference Call. Today's call is being recorded. And now for introductions, I would like to turn the call over to Billy Godlewski. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Matt, and welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is using the FindRoute utility for route determination and for troubleshooting routing problems on VOS communication server systems running TCP/IP. Today's presenter is John Bell. John joined Application and Integration Middleware, VOS, Communication Server Support and Development in February 2000 and is a member of VOS TCP/IP Connectivity Team. As a team member, he is primarily responsible for focusing on all aspects of customer support relating to VOS TCP/IP Connectivity software defects. He works closely with the change team and development to ensure that customer satisfaction is consistently met and assists in product and quality enhancements as required by the marketplace. At this time, I'd like to turn the presentation over to John.
Thank you, Billy. This is the presentation on FindRoute, which is a utility program to diagnose problems with IP routes used for outbound traffic from a mainframe system. FindRoute features, uses, and application will be discussed. Slide 2. Here are some problem statements addressing the need for FindRoute utility. With the advent of dynamic routing protocols such as OSPF and RIP, the IP routing table can get very large, for example, 2,000 routes, and can vary according to network configuration and topology changes. Now, it's not limited to dynamic routes. It can also apply to static routes as configured. So with the large routing tables, finding routes used to reach a target destination can be a tedious task for problem determination. On MVS, we have commands called netstat gate or netstat route, which are used to display the routing table. But with large routing table, the route display can be very long. And these commands do not display all possible routes along with the address mask that will mask a given target IP address. Now, however, there are some options, filter options. The filter options for NetStack, you have IP adder on MVS and the select option on VM. And this filter option can be used, but it is too restrictive. And that is, you have specified the exact address or the address mask has to be known. And plus, there is no utility available to list all possible matching routes based on a different target IP address from a TCP/IP dump report. So with these, the NetStat gate and NetStat route, those commands can be issued from TSO. There is also a command from the operator's console using the display TCP/IP command that can be used to display the routes. Slide number 3. So the solution is the FindRoute utility is created to provide the need to search for matching routes from a NetStat route gate reports or from TCP/IP address space dumps or a given target IP address. Slide number 4. The purpose of FindRoute is to troubleshoot connectivity problems from mainframe perspective. We want to define what you use to determine the outbound routing path to reach a target and to identify the matching routes in the IP routing table to identify active as well as inactive routes. In addition to the route state, we also identify the network interfaces. The network interfaces is referenced in the routes themselves. The FindRoute utility can be a complement to the ping and trace route commands or interface specification to perform necessary connectivity tests for problem determination.
And now we'll move on to slide 5.
Okay, here are some features of FindRoute. FindRoute is written as a REST-based command interface. REST is a REST interpretive language, programming language. It does not use rack sockets. It has the ability to run on both MVS and VM platforms under TSO and CMS. And the command can be issued in interactive mode with TCP/IP running on active LPAR on the system. And the command can be issued against an output file of routes from a TCP/IP dump. For example, IPCS, PCP-IPCS state report for NVIDIA. And the results are displayed at the console, or they can be redirected to a file or data set. Slide number 6. FineRound has some restrictions and dependencies. It is supported for ZOS release, starting in version 1, release 2, and up, and for VM, GVM, version 3, and up. For FineRound to work on the system, it requires RETS enablement. For example, on NVS, the RETS program must be in the system link list. The restrictions of FineRound are it has no support for IP version 6. Also, it's not supported in USS or OMVS shell environment. It has no support for reports from VM TCP/IP dumps. Slide number 7. Here is the command syntax for FineRound. The command syntax for FineRound, it consists of four parameters. It has target, input file, output file, and options. The target is we specify the destination IP address in 32-bit docket decimal address form. You can specify, besides the target, you can specify the question mark or help, the word help, or more for information on the command syntax. The parameter for input file is the name of the NVS dataset or VM file. For NVS, the input is from the state report from TCP/IP dump, from TCP/IP address space dump. And the parameter output file is the name of the NVS data set or VM file, depending on what environment the tool is running in. For NVS, if you're using a fully qualified name, you enclose the data set with single quotes. Or you can leave the output file name blank to direct the output to the console. And the option parameter is we have two options. We have one is debug to enable debug mode for the tool itself in case you have problems. And the other option is the word replace, which will replace the existing output file. Now, regarding the input file, the only input file supported on VM is the TCP/IPCS state report as transferred from NVS. Slide number 8. And here are some examples of the FineRound command file environment. In the NVS on VM environments, we have to specify the FineRound and the target IP address. Under the NVS environment, there are examples to specify the data set name, the input data set name, as well as the data set output. On VM environment, there are examples for specifying the target IP address and the input VM file name as well as output file name. And notice that the options are the abbreviations, D for debug and OEP for replace. Slide number 9, there's some tips for configuration on NVS. Normally, it's best to allocate the FineRound utility to sysproc so that the FineRound dataset name will not have to be specified and that single quotes will not have to be enclosed for the parameters. So for example, there's allocation command. And from TSO, you can issue the command on the specified FineRound and the parameters. If you don't do this, then you have to specify the dataset name as well as the parameters, enclose them in single quotes. In this example, using the ES is the abbreviation for execute, and the FineRound is, in this case, the FineRound member is in the PDS dataset. So you can see I enclose the dataset in single quotes as well as the target IP address, here is 1.2.3.4 in single quotes. Okay, slide number 10. Here I just want to briefly talk about the route selection logic that you use in our route table lookups on the mainframe. The route search order for the IP routing table is the most specific to the least specific, starting with the host route and ending with the default route. And the order of precedence is host, subnet, network, supernet, and default. As you know, host route has a 32-bit mask, which is 255.255.255.255, and a default route has a 0-bit mask, which is 0.0.0.0. And a subnet, network or supernet route has a non-zero bitmap ranging from 1 to 30, or 128.0.0.0, and the highest subnet mask is 255.255.255.252 for a subnet. So in general, we will look for a route with the largest mask, and we will determine that what we use to search for match. So in the case, in addition, in the case of a, when there are equal cost multi-path routes present, the first active multi-path route will be used. The inactive ones will be ignored. And the other active multi-path routes will be used as backups or if multi-path routing is enabled from using the IP config multi-path option in the T.P profile. So what we do is we take the subnet address, well, how you determine the subnet address, we take the target IP address, and we do a logical AND with the route subnet mask. The logical AND is a binary arithmetic operation for numbers represented in binary numbers, 0 and 1. Logical AND rules are the AND 1, or the AND 0 and 0, the result is 0. The AND 1 and 1, the result is 1. The AND 1 and 0, the result is 0. And so the operation is performed on a 32-bit addresses and mask. So we take the address, the docket decimal form, we convert it to binary, and perform the binary arithmetic. So a match occurs when the subnet address matches the route destination address. For example, a target IP address, 9.1.1.1, and a route 16-bit match, or it's 255.255.0.0. When you logically AND those two together, that will yield 9.1.0.0. And this matches a 9.1.0.0 with a 16-bit subnet mask, if it exists. And other subnet routes, for example, 8.1.0.0, do not match. Another example is the default route, you know, it has a 0 destination address as well as a 0 a big mask. So that means any target IP address that logical AND with the mask of 0 will result in the address of 0. And that address will match the default route. So basically, any IP address will match the default route. Slide number 11. In addition to the route selection, the selection can be influenced by route state changes. For example, active or inactive routes, and we ignore the inactive routes. The route can be changed from obey file processing to allow to modify existing routes or to add or delete routes. And routing changes can be from policy agent, quality of service, or IP set for security. Dynamic routing changes can be influenced by the type of protocol, for example, OSPF, RIP, and ICMP redirect. If you have IP config multicast in the IP profile, if that option is specified, it can influence the outbound traffic, the round robin, on the routes, on the equal cost multicast routes. And a note here says, for packets that use for dynamic routing protocols, such as OSPF or RIP, they're not subjected to multi-path routing. What it means is when we send OSPF and RIP packets to networks, we send those packets that are directly attached and over each physical network interface as allowed according to the configuration, and we send them to the neighboring routers. Another point I want to mention is that for dynamic routes such as OSPF or RIP, the routing preferences can be changed by metrics. That is, the route with the shortest cost will be used. Slide number 12. Here's a troubleshooting tip on using the ping and trace route. On the PSO, well, there's two specified the ping and trace route command by environment. In this case, this is under TSO or USS. So once the routes have been determined to reach a target, determine the target IP address, you can use the ping or trace route to determine to test the conductivity. So when you have equal cost multipath routes, there's potential for packets to round robin on the equal cost multipath route. And without the options on the ping or trace route, we use the stack, the T5P stack will dictate the routing according to the multipath algorithm. But if you want to force the ping or trace route to use a particular route, you can specify the interface option. On the TSO, you specify option INTF on the ping command. And likewise on the trade company, on the USS or from the OMBS shell, specify the minus I option on the old ping or old trade route command. And there are examples listed here. One thing I want to mention is that fine route is not supported on to run in the USS shell environment. And for VM environment, the length option is available only for IP version 6. Another thing about the interface option, it can be useful to determine slow and fast links. So, you know, you can have multiple interfaces and some links can be have a mixture of speed, you know, slow or fast speed. So you can test specifying the interface option, you know, the ping or trace route, and test the responses. Slide number 13. There's another troubleshooting tip. There's a parameter called route count. When you display the routing table using netstat route, there is a column of route count or reference counts. And it indicates the number of users using a route. And that can be analyzed to determine which route may be having used for a session. And one thing I want to mention is that the reference count can be short-lived. For example, I've seen P packets for ping. However, increasing the packet length or timeout parameter value for the ping may allow the route count to stay longer. So in this example, the route count is highlighted in red. You can see the high route count for the first default route. There's no route count for the second default route. And there's a route count of 1 for the first subnet route and 0 for the second subnet. So in this, as you know, the NetSec route report has flags and reference count information. And the flags, which in the column next to route count, indicates the route state and type. So, for example, the letters flag UGS for the first default route. U stands for up. G is for gateway, which stands for indirect route rather than direct or directly attached. And S is for staggered route. And when you see a route without the letter U, that means the route is inactive. And if you see the route without the letter G, that means the route is directly attached. Other letters such as H is indicates a host route. O is for OSPF route. R is for RIP route. C is for route configured by the TCP stack. And the letter D for ITMP redirect. Okay. Slide number 14. One thing I forgot to mention is that the route count is not shown for routes from VM NetStat reports. Okay, slide number 14. Okay, here's a sample of a ping command issue from a USS or OMBS shell. Here I specify the packet length. The ping command was issued on one screen in USS shell. Slide number 15. On another screen is the NetStat from in the USS shell. I issue a NetStat minus R to display the results. As you know, on the other screen where I issue the ping command with the packet length, that forces the route count to stay longer, and you can see in this next stack, route report, the route count has increased on the default route from 349 to 350. So this is used to illustrate the behavior of route count updates. Another tip is to specify an unknown IP address with a timeout parameter on the ping command. For MPS or VM, the parameter is timeout. And for the ping or old trace route in USS shell, minus T is the timeout parameter. So whenever you have equal cost multipath routes, you can see which multipath route is used for outbound connections. Likewise, for routes that are not multipath, if that route was chosen for the outbound traffic, you will see the non-zero route count. And what I mean by connections, that's for UDP, ICMP, or TCP, and therefore the protocol is TCP, UDP, and ICMP. Okay, slide number 16. Okay, there's another tip that can be used for problem diagnosis is the age parameter. When you get the TCP IP, yes, state report from, you know, taken from a MPS dump or a HTTP address space dump. When you run the report, the state report, we will list all the routes by the interfaces. In the route description, we include the age parameter. And these age parameters, the timestamp, of these dates and times. And so these timestamps can be useful to determine the route changes that may have, that may influence the precedent order for route selection. So for example, a host route or another subnet route may take precedent over a subnet route that was previously used for a session. And another scenario is when a host route got created after, later after a subnet route became available for a session. On the age parameter, the time is, it's a 24-hour or military time format. So the age parameter is, you know, the route changes can be influenced by time, especially with the dynamic routing protocols, with OSPF RIP. Slide number 17. And here's a partial report of routes matching target address of 10.120.100.2. And there are two subnet routes, 10.120.100.0 and one host route to 10.120.100.2. Regarding the age parameters, the first subnet route was added on June 29, the second one was added on June 30th, and the host route was added on June 26th. So you can see the host route was added first, and the second subnet route was added thereafter, and later, and lastly, the third subnet route. In case when you have routes added on the same day, then use the timestamp in the 24-hour or military time format to determine at what time when the routes got created. So in case, and if a host route had not been created, then the outbound connection will use a subnet route. So in this example, note the subnet routes are on different interfaces from the host route. So just bear in mind that not all routes can be on the same interface. They can be created across different interfaces. Slide number 18. The following slides are screenshot examples of fine route uses in the MBS and VM environment. Slide number 19. These are samples. The following screenshots are for MBS environment. They're screenshots in interactive mode as well as using the state report from the IP address space dump. Slide number 20. And this is an example of using a define route command with a target IP address in TSO for the current MBS environment in interactive mode. Slide number 21. This is an example of console output from find route in the interactive mode. Note the total number of routes processed, 10, four active matching routes, and also there are 0 inactive matching routes found. So the matching routes found here are 2 default routes and 2 subnet routes. One thing I want to mention is that the order that's being displayed is the same order as reported from NetStack. So it's not necessarily the order that the route will be used for, you know, in route selection. So just remember the routing algorithm. You know, we do a route table lookup in the search order of host route, subnet route, network route, supernet, and then default. So, you know, with NetStack, we display the default route as the first one, and followed by the more specific routes. Okay, slide number 22. And this is a sample of the state reports that were taken from TCP/IP address space dump on MBS that being stored as data sets. We have 2 state reports displayed here. Slide number 23. And this is one of the state reports being displayed to illustrate the context. You can see there are routes. We list all the routes by their network interfaces. And the find route utility is used to condense the report to only matching routes when a target IP address is specified. Slide number 24. Okay, this is an example of ensuring the find route command against the input state report data set for a target IP address. So from the display of data set, you type in the command area, you type in the find route and the parameters. So in this case, the find route command is issued against the first state report. Slide number 25. Okay, this is an example output on the find route against the state report data set being used as input. Note that the output is different from the one in the interactive mode. This is because different format was used for the routing information. So again, here we do display the total number route process, as well as the list of the number of active and inactive apps. You can see the routing description is a different format from the one in interactive mode. There are parameters. We have a name, port interface name, the subnet mask, the IP address, what protocol, MTU size, and the metrics, as well as the age for timestamp. There's page 26. This is a continuation from the previous display to illustrate the inactive matching route. As you can see, the state shows inactive. So for this is the inactive subnet route. The mark inactive. Okay, slide number 27. Okay, this is a sample of directing output to MVS dataset. On the command area, the display on the command specify the target IP address. And there's a greater than symbol for direction of the output file. There's the name of the output file being specified. So here is the name of MVS dataset. Slide 28. And after the creation of the output dataset, here we see the display, the creation of the directed output dataset, name of out. Next slide is the display of the report from the directed output dataset. And note the header information. As before, under the source, I display the actual source of the next bound information. In this case, it's the name of a dump. One thing I want to mention is that this header information is also in the output for interactive mode. The source will be next at in the version, PFIP version. So basically, the header has the source, the PFIP name, the PFIP version, the target IP address, and token number of apps. Okay, next slide. The following screenshots are in VM environment, and I also list examples of screenshots in interactive mode as well as a VM file. The VM file is for the state report that has been transferred from MVS. Now, there are some customers that like to transfer files from data sets from MVS to VM. For those that are not using VM environment, then this is not applicable. Okay, slide number 31. This is a sample of issuing the final route command with a target IP address in CMS for the current VM environment in interactive mode. Slide number 32. So this is a sample of console output from final route in interactive mode. Note the total number of routes in process, 476. We have 4 active matching routes found and 0 inactive matching routes found. And the matching routes found here are 2 default routes and 2 subnet routes. Now, I've not mentioned this before. The target IP address here is 9.56.228.177. So what we do is we list all the routes. We go through the routing table and look for all possible matching routes that can be used to reach our target. So here we have 4 subnet routes as well as 4 default routes. So of course, you know, with the route search order, the subnet routes will take precedent over default routes. Now if there are host routes, so the host routes will take precedent over subnet routes. Okay, so next slide. And this slide shows the example of inactive matching routes. I'm sorry, this example of the host routes. And below, there's no inactive matching routes. So these are host routes that can be used, that will be used, that will take precedent over the subnet and default routes. So in this display, we have default, subnet, and host routes. Okay, next slide. This is a sample of the file list in CMS environment. We display the state report. The state report's been transferred from MVS. Okay, next slide. Here, the state report is being opened to view the context. Okay, slide number 36. This is a sample of using the find route command on the state report that's been used as input on VM. And here we specify the target IP address. Next slide. This is a sample console output from find route against the state report. And you can see it's very similar to the one on MVS environment. Okay, next slide, number 38. This is a sample of directing output to a VM file using the state report as an input file. On the parameters, specify the target IP address and the greater than symbol for file direction and the name of the VM file. See, next slide, number 39. And you can see from when issuing the file list command, display the files, and one of them is the output file, the direct output file that has been created, slide number 40. It's a sample display of the direct output on VM. Now, on MBS and VM environments, you can specify the option of replace. Now, when you reissue the command, you can specify replace to erase the existing data segment file using the same output file name. Okay, slide number 41. Okay, the FindRoute utility is, it will be available for download from our GOS support website, as shown. And you select the download option and specify FindRoute in the search argument to locate the tech note for the download instruction. Now, the utility is pending approval for release, so please stay tuned when it becomes available. Slide number 42. Okay, this chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere and GOS communication server products. Developer works offer in-depth and technical information. The event list, the event links on support pages point you to webcasts and conference information. Visit the WebSphere.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve quickly. The ESR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And the My Support link on all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you. Slide number 43. Okay, that concludes my presentation, and at this point, I would like to turn the call over to Billy.
At this point, Matt, we'd like to open the lines up for questions.
We do have one question. This comes from Bruce Marshall with Royal Bank.
I've got a couple of questions, so I guess we'll just go through them in the order we have them here. Is the utility, is there a reason it's not made available through USS, through the Irish or the O command? The first question?
Yes, that will be determined.
Okay, so that's being considered? Okay, the output routes that find route list, is there any way they could be sorted by the order of route selection automatically?
Can it be filtered by...
By the same order that comm server would use for route selection or the routing protocol?
Oh, by routing protocol. That's a good question. That's something else. You can take that into account for future release.
Okay, just something to think about. It could be pretty useful for problem solving.
Yeah. I mean, right now, the utility only, lists all possible routes. I mean,
right.
Without protocol taking into consideration.
Right. It's not going to be taken into consideration just for problem solving. It's what it thinks is the best route could be put at the top, even if it's a reasonable guess at it would be useful.
Right. So what you're asking for is add more filter options.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
So once you make something available, customers always ask for something else, right?
Yeah.
Okay. The third question, Dave asked the CINET question.
Well, I guess two components. There was no way to specify a TCP stack name to enter this command? So you have to take a display of the netstat routes per stack and then use this tool against that?
That's a good question. Are you talking about an interactive mode?
Sure.
Yes. Yeah, interactive mode. You're talking about a TSL environment, right?
Sure. Well, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. You're talking about when you have multiple stacks and you want to specify the stack name. Is that correct?
Right, yeah.
Okay.
How would it work with multiple stacks as a general topic for MVS?
That has not been tested yet.
Future release.
Yeah.
We're done.
Okay, we have no further questions in queue. I will turn the call back over to Billy Gavlosky for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you. At this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation and hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site in the next day or two. Thank you very much for joining us today. And thanks, John. Great job. Have a great day, everyone.